May God open our hearts and our ears to what he has to say to us today, that we may receive Christ afresh in our hearts at this Advent time. Amen. Please be seated. I have a question for us to ponder. Do we, or do we not, testify to the light? Not delight, the light. And to guide our answers, we look to John and Isaiah and three key words from Paul. So in John's Gospel today, John the Baptist's arrival on the public stage, as it were, focuses our attention on the players in this unfolding drama, revealing God's purpose as the herald of Christ, coming, this passage coming after the deeply theological explanation of the meaning of Christ we've heard just before that. Well, we didn't hear it today, but if you recall. So who is Christ? He is the one who is the light in the darkness. John the Baptist was commissioned, sent out by God to be a witness to Jesus Christ, a witness to the light that Christ floods over the whole world, the light that reveals to us the love of God and how we are to live in that light. So in proclaiming that he was a voice crying in the wilderness, John was echoing Isaiah's oracle in Isaiah chapter 40, commanding the people to prepare the way from exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem, preparing for the return of the glory of the Lord, the visible expression of the Lord's presence in the tabernacle of the temple. Both Isaiah and John are prophets calling people back into right relationship with our God. And now, in our time, Jesus comes not in an ark, not confined to a temple, but in and of the world, divine and human, born of the Holy Spirit and of Mary. The babe in a manger to whom we look forward is that potent symbol, the symbol, the mystery of God's calling of the whole world into right relationship with him through the person of his Son. John defines our relationship with Jesus Christ as one of extreme humility. Those who had the job of untying sandals were slaves because only they could do the extremely menial task of touching and washing feet. If John is unfit to untie the sandals of Jesus, who are we? What is to be our relationship with him? This is a powerful question for all of us. How do you prepare, make straight the way of the Lord? How do we receive the good news into our beings, break free from oppression, from the forces that overwhelm us in our lives? How do I receive comfort in my brokenness, in perhaps suffering grief over the death of a loved one, in suffering perhaps the loss of a job and all the consequent loss of future prospects? How do I let the light of the love of God into my heart and so be liberated from my burdens, receive that longed-for sign of God's favour, comfort, provisions, spiritual and physical? I believe it's helpful to look at the life of John the Baptist before he entered public life. From whence had he come prior to making this announcement? All the gospel writers tell us that John came from the wilderness. The idea of wilderness was well known to Old Testament writers. They continually reflected on Israel's founding experience of wandering in the desert during the time of Exodus, a time of being separated from the usual demands of life, a time of journeying, of thinking, of meditating on the Word of God. I was reading an article recently which I found inspirational. The author had been invited to lead a group of young people into a time of meditation, and he was surprised to learn that these 12 to 14 year olds were not novices in meditation, but were used to practicing regularly for 20 minutes at a time. Their teacher had seen their need and had taught them how. These teenagers were asked, why is it that they thought it was good to learn to pray in stillness and in silence? The author wasn't expecting the self-awareness nor wisdom beyond the years they showed in their response. These young people recognized that they needed time apart from the rush of their lives. They were just too busy. They were expected to achieve too much, too quickly, and to pack too many activities into their day. Sound familiar to you? It does to me. So through meditation, they had learned to let go. Let go of the oppressive busyness of life, the constant communication, the constant noise, the constant flow of information, the need to respond immediately. They had found out how to make space, to let in the Spirit of God, and this had given them spiritual strength and maturity to cope with the pressures of life. I feel quite envious of them. There's no need to be envious. I find it instructive to reflect that Jesus has told us to receive the kingdom of God as children do. Matthew tells us in chapter 10 of his gospel. Children have no power or status and bring nothing to Jesus but trust and dependence. Trust and dependence. So we can see how we can answer the question, how do we prepare, make straight the way of the Lord? By joining them, following their example, by reading meditatively the gospel Advent stories in all the gospels perhaps, just the opening chapters. If we complain that we find it impossible to make space in our busy lives, perhaps we could read these Advent stories on the train or get someone to read it to us as we drive along in the car, concentrating carefully. Even better, get our children to read to us, and vice versa, and share together that we may be thinking on these things, the things we've heard about today in our three readings. The trick is, of course, that when a verse strikes us with special force, to stop reading it further, but to stay on it, dwell within it, reach into the heart of it, explore the meaning of the verse for oneself now, and what God may be speaking to us through it. That's what Paul means when he writes to the Thessalonians right at the beginning of our reading today. Pray without ceasing. Then, as Isaiah tells us in today's deeply encouraging passage, we will begin to discover or rediscover God's love for us as we hear his praise for us in the stillness of our hearts. That is the promised blessing of God. So for what purpose? Why does God bless us when we spend time with him? The purpose is that we, like the people of Judah, will be equipped to act, to build up others, to raise up those bowed down, to repair relationships, and in and through as many different ways as God calls us in Christ, according to the skills we have and the relationships that we have been called into, so that we, like John the Baptist, testify to the light, sharing with others the good news of our salvation. When we begin to know what it means to live out our lives as humble slaves of Jesus Christ, following in his way of service, then we will begin to know the fruitfulness of living for others in right relationship, in righteousness with our God. Thus becoming, as Isaiah puts it, ministers of God. As we discover through focusing on others, release from our burdens. By giving ourselves the gift of wilderness time, setting aside time with God away from the busyness of life, we learn to see in the clear light of silence God's call this Advent season to make straight the way of the Lord, being one of many voices crying out from the wilderness, testifying to the light. So how do I reply? How do you reply to the question, who are you? What do you have to say about yourself? What answer do we have?